narrate a story from beginning to end. A dramatic or a narrative present, excuse me, dramatic they were, a narrative presentation of their account was not what they were striving for. There is something of that in Herodotus. Now, he is a narrator and a very good one, but he also fixes on moments, on scenes, on events, and he does it with a dramatist's flair. So what does he want to know? Well, just as in every Greek play, there is the climax. There is the moment when you've got up to the top and you're going to come back down, when everything turns, when everything changes. So for Herodotus, he's got to find, as it were, the climax. Where is it going to be? In other words, why did this war happen? Well, he recognized that there could be any number of very long-term trends, but there also has to be some immediate trigger mechanism. I said, he is putting ideals on parade. He's looking for character. And I'll come back in just a second to what those large character trends were as Herodotus saw them. But for the moment, the point I want to make, the point that Herodotus makes, is that given these long-term character trends, such a war could have happened at any time. But it didn't happen at any time. It happened at a particular time. So why then? Well, after Herodotus thought about this for a long time, he said it was all because of the Lydians. Remember our Lydian friends, Croesus, he of the heaping up coins, he of the wealthy person? Got to tell you a little about Greek oracles in order to explain this whole business with Croesus and Herodotus and so on. Oracles were places in the Greek world, temples usually, where there was a seer, a person who could see into the future, a person who could tell you hidden truths. And when people wanted to know something about the future, they would send to one or another of these oracles and they would ask a question. They usually got an answer that came in the form of a riddle. One thinks that the oracles were in the business of hedging their bets. Didn't want to run off the customers by being wrong too often. But anyway, they would get an answer in the form of a riddle, you see. Croesus of Lydia was an ambitious fellow. So he sends off to the oracle of Apollo over on the Ionian coast. And he asks the question, what would happen if I were to attack the Persians? The answer came back from the oracle, you will destroy a great empire. Croesus said, oh boy, he attacked the Persians. And sure enough, he destroyed his empire. Not what he had in mind. But in any case, from Herodotus' point of view, when Croesus somewhat rashly attacked the Persians, that brought the Persians into Anatolia. Once the Persians came into Anatolia, they marched right on to Ionia. They conquered western Anatolia. They conquered the Aegean coast. They conquered a world where lots of Greeks lived. And eventually, large numbers of those Greeks were unwilling to live under foreign domination. They revolted against Persia. Various cities on the mainland lent more or less success. Athens actually lent more success to the Ionian revolt than anyone else did. The Persians then came to feel, once they had suppressed the Ionian revolt, that they had to square accounts with the Greeks on the mainland. And so in two great campaigns, one in 490 BC and one in 480 BC, the Persians sent their massed military might against the Greeks. And the Greeks finally struck them down, beat them off, won the war. So for Herodotus, the Persian War, the battle you see between the Greeks and the Persians, was actually occasioned by Croesus of Lydia's rashness in the first place. There was the trigger mechanism. All right. Fair enough. So that's how he builds his story. That's how it has this dramatic moment in it. And it's plausible. Most historians today would probably say, well, gee, there's more to it than that. But Herodotus' account is plausible. It commands respect. What we can say is that it serves Herodotus to open his big themes. What are these? The arrogance of great states. States that do not bear their capacity to rule with grace and elegance and dignity, but want to throw their weight around. The Persians just thought they had to show the Greeks something. They had to prove the Greeks something. The Greeks were really no threat to the Persians, could have been left alone. More interestingly, and I think somewhat richer food for thought, Herodotus saw an inevitable clash between East and West. All of his great travels led him to believe that world over there is not like our world over here. And these two worlds are not going to live in peace with one another. One suspects that for 2,500 years, the unfolding course of history suggests that Herodotus may have been more right than wrong. And one suspects that only if that changes are we likely to have a very bright future. Herodotus also saw people in the Persian Empire as subjects, as virtual slaves to a great king, and not as free men as he imagined the Greeks to be. So another of his great themes was the inevitable struggle of freedom and tyranny. And his belief was, free men fight for things which they value. Slaves fight for nothing. And therefore, free men will defeat slaves on every occasion.